倦怠な夢の後の何もない世の中じゃそうは愛しい思いも負けそうになるけど。
Hello everyone and welcome to Lost in Translation 1 Manga Special 9. I'm May.
And I'm Jay.
And this time we covered Digimon Adventure V-Tamer Volume 9, which is of course the final volume in the V-Tamer series.
Just gonna quickly shed a tear for our dearly departed only good thing about Digimon until Atmon showed up.
Yeah, until Atmon. Well, Tamers wasn't bad, but in any case, so it's a very sad moment because now we are done with V-Tamer. But I guess we're on to next, which I've read and I've pretty much enjoyed it, and there are other people who have also enjoyed it. So hopefully Jay enjoys that too.
A Digimon series named because the author finished V-Tamer and said, well, what's next? And someone said that.
Yeah. Chapter 52 starts off with Digimon being asked if Zero is fighting too soon. And he says, look, yes, but if he doesn't fight now, he won't get another chance. Like, this is his only chance to fight. He's not ready to fight, but there's no other choice.
I mean, because presumably Arcadamon's going to eat everyone. Mm.
Which is fine, because it's always like, oh, geez, someone having a miraculous recovery. It's a very shonen thing, and it happens a lot in Digimon, where like suddenly they'll be basically dead, and then they'll be fully recovered. And
it's like four times in this final volume.
Yes, but at least we can explain, okay, it's because Zero's a bit magic.
It's
but
really magic.
At least they explain in this part that he's not fully recovered. He did just die, pretty much, but he is recovering, and it's the only chance that he has to fight Arcadamon. Hideto says sorry to Taichi and says the only thing he found out was that the dot matrix comes from the Arcadamon center. And Taichi says that's great news and now he knows how they can win. And Hideto's like, oh, I'm really sorry, that's all I could find out. And Taichi's like, what are you talking about? That's great.
No, it's really cool. This whole bit's really great because it does a lot of things. It means that, and they say this later, Tai could not have won if he didn't have his friends backing him up here to figure this out. And at the same time, they didn't do so much to invalidate what Tai eventually does.
Yeah.
It's a really good balance for storytelling.
Mm.
The rest of Digimon could have learned from this. That's all I'm saying.
Also, even though the Taichi is basically just the only main character, the supporting cast does do a pretty good job.
Well, in everything else, this is the setup, except they don't pretend that Hideto is like a main character. Yeah. Whereas in all other Digimon, they're like, oh yeah, no, totally, you know, Yoli, she's a main character,
Yoshino's a main character.
Oh, for sure. She's in the main three.
It will just combine her episode with Yoshikuto.
That's the name of the character. They have two bodies.
Neo keeps calling Zero and Taichi errors and bugs, and he says, look, an error won't destroy my plans.
I love how we finally get to the bottom of why he's so obsessed with that problem.
Mm.
I don't think it's this one, but it's really strong. But yeah, he's really going hard at it now.
And Taichi's trying to get Arcadamon to use the dot matrix, and then they're able to dodge it, and Arcadamon's energy is down.
Well, what it is that he stands still in the air, he's like, come on, come get me, and everyone's like, you're an idiot, this is an insane plan, you're just gonna get vaporized by the dot matrix.
Yeah.
And then he finally does it, and yeah, he gets out of the way, and they're like, first of all, Neo thinks it's a fluke, and everyone else says, that's impossible. How could you possibly know he was going to move out of the way?
Yeah.
And we get this whole explanation of how the dot matrix works. Well, it's a really powerful attack, and it has to be powerful enough to absorb whatever it's hitting.
Yes.
So the idea is that the Arcadamon looks invincible because every time he hits something with dot matrix, he dissolves it and takes that energy.
Yes.
So he ends up using the same amount of energy as he intakes and he's fine.
Yes.
But if he misses, which he just did, then he loses energy. And Tai's like, yeah, and you know what? I can tell because I'm reading his energy levels, and when I see it drop a little bit, that's when he's fired the dot matrix.
It's also because of Sigma's information, isn't it? Right? I'm pretty sure Sigma gave him information on Arcadamon, right?
He did, but would that tell him what the current energy levels are? I don't remember if it was directly related. Definitely was helpful.
Yeah, he was helpful. So then in chapter 53, Zero keeps dodging and using up Arcadamon's power, and then Neo uses the Digimantle.
Because it was, well, he, right before that, he's like beating the hell out of Arcadamon. Like, it's over.
Yes.
Like, he'd easily win this fight. Yeah, and then he uses the Digimantle, which is, they didn't say it right now, they'll say it later, which is the, like, you need to be pure of heart to use this thing.
Yes, or you need to have pure intentions. And Neo is pure with his intentions, and you find it later, he is 100% just doing this to save his sister.
We kind of already knew that. The only thing that's ever inconsistent with that is sometimes he mistreats her earlier.
Yeah.
Like, when he puts her in baby prison.
Yeah, because that's basically where he goes, yeah. where she goes, yes. So Arcadimon is now the super ultimate and can now use God Matrix, which turns the ground into binary data.
It's basically a nuclear explosion.
Yes.
But he just happens to not hit any of the people he was fighting.
And Neo says he's going to destroy the whole world and he's going to rebuild it. And that's why he called Arcadimon Arcadimon, because it's named after Arcadia. And he's going to be building that.
That's the best part of this, is that he named the Digimon. That's not what it's called. He chose the name because he made it.
Well, he's designed a Digimon like Chimeramon in 02.
Yeah, it's a weirdly underutilized thing in Digimon.
I feel like I think you're right. I feel like this is something that should be used more and explored upon, is like, people should be able to, if you're smart enough or you have the knowledge, you should be able to create your own Digimon, right? If you're smart. Like, why didn't Koshiro ever try to, like, hack the digital world?
I have no idea, especially in Tri when he's had years to plan.
He kind of did that, and that's how he worked out how to get Tentomon to evolve into Kabuterimon very early on in Adventure, where he ran a program from being in that battery room. But I feel like he never really used it as much as he could.
They did do it in Tamers when they gave Dukemon the ship.
Yes.
But that doesn't really count. That was just an upgrade.
I mean, Gilmon in general was created by a person, but I'm just talking about, like, people just hacking their own Digimon, basically.
Or alternatively, any smart Digimon program would be able to make, because if you can make Chimeramon, you can make 800 Chimeramon.
Yes.
Right? There's no reason there was only one of them.
Yeah.
It's actually, I never thought about that. Why was there only one of them?
Yeah, good point. I feel like but also we found out that one Chimeramon was still too much, so I feel like maybe he thought that 500 would be impossible, because he still had to control Chimeramon. Like, it was still a hard thing to do.
You think the Digimon Emperor, wait, was that, it was in 02, yeah. Yeah, I think the Digimon Emperor had, like, self-restraint, like, oh no, you know what, I think I know the limits of what I can control.
Yeah, I guess. But remember, because of Chimeramon, Millenniummon goes back in time to merge with Chimeramon, but Millenniummon from the future merging with Mugendramon with Chimeramon, which makes Millenniummon.
Yes, and then he's inside Cyberdramon when you find them in Tamers in the other season.
Yes.
And
he's in love with Ryo.
And then he de-evolves and they go back to the real world, even though the only reason they couldn't go back to the real world is because Millenniummon's in there.
Look, for the most part, you need to look at the whole Wonderswan-like timeline. You need to do mental gymnastics.
And then also, the main show is like, yes, it exists, but also...
Yeah. At least, like, we had actual Ryo's personality in V-Tamer.
Ryo's parents were just there, and they were like, oh, hey, welcome back.
Yeah, they shouldn't be, because his parents are not from that world. But also, like, the Ryo is sort of, like, separate from that. It's sort of like an Easter egg, but they also made to give him parents in case you didn't know where he was from.
There's an argument to be made that in a universe, oh, sorry, in a concept where there's infinite universes, every single one of them has a Ryo who has parents, and he steps out of his universe clockwise, and they all step through.
Mm.
So there are parents in all of them, and he's unrecognizable as being different.
Right, yes.
You could argue that. It would be wrong, but you could.
Lots of Angemon charge at Arcadimon, but they're all cut in half in this really gory scene.
It's a weird decision for them to have made. Because there's no chance, right?
There's like 20 of them, but they're all still adult level, and these, I don't know.
Very charged of the Light Brigade. They got tanks, we got horses, let's go.
But to be fair, it does make Arcadimon look very strong when he just obliterates some Angemon.
Literally what jobbers are.
Yes. Zero gets really super mad when he sees this, and he goes into a violent override. Taichi is concerned, but he believes in him, and it doesn't work, and Zero keeps on trying and saying, look, I'm not done yet.
Okay, well, let's take a step back. What is he trying? He's using Dragon Impulse.
Yes, he's using Dragon Impulse, this yes, is, with like, this override.
You start getting the feelings, because he's doing Dragon Impulse, and it's...
You've been told if he does it one more time, he might die, yeah. And now he's doing it, like, 5 times in a row.
And they go, Tai, why would you let him do it? And he goes, he would do this anyway, because he knows it's right.
Yeah.
So as his tamer, the only thing I can do is support him, which is that thing where we always complain about Adventure, which is the Digimon are just like slaves to the humans. They're like,
yeah,
they're tools. In this one, they are clearly distinct characters, and
with their own personalities.
Yeah, and Vidron would do his own stuff no matter what.
Yeah.
And Tai is doing his best to support him in that.
Yes.
And he keeps using Dragon Impulse over and over again, and it does nothing. He's literally bouncing off him.
And then Taichi and Zero get flashbacks of when Taichi was raising him in the little V-Pet, which this part means a lot to me because I'm a fan of the V-Pets. And just out of curiosity, how does this... What do you feel about these scenes when you're given the shot of his V-Pet when he's raising it? Like, do you feel anything, or just are you bored?
I know, I felt stuff because there's clear emotion in it. Although, I will say it's always tinged with, like, wow, Ty is such a loser.
Oh, yeah, he's a big nerd.
He's, like, he's in bed, he's sick, he's like, are you sick too? All right, I'll look after you.
Yeah, and he, like, goes to bed with it and he talks to it. Like, I mean, come on, a lot of people who are kids and they had their Digimon pet would probably speak to their Digimon.
It might do, and that's fine. I get he's young, he's a big loser, but it's fine. But otherwise, like, I appreciate it. It's the right time to use it, and yeah. It all sort of made sense.
And they haven't been, like, in your face with, oh, did you know this is from the VPET? Like, they've only referenced it, like, a couple of times. There was once at the start, and then I think a couple of volumes ago we had a shot of him just holding his VPET. And I guess we had the stuff with Hideto and Neo. But besides that, they haven't actually mentioned it that much.
Well, the point is they never make it a big deal.
Yeah.
It's just the way things are. Because what's consistent about this show so far, what's consistent about the manga is, okay, no, there is an actual Digimon in the VPETs.
Yes.
And sometimes they can come with you. That's what's consistent. And you go, okay, I understand that. Because the digital world is a place, presumably.
Yep.
One would imagine that a VPET is a self-contained computer system. So if you could connect it to the internet, they would just leave and go to the main digital world, but they can't.
Yes.
So basically a VPET is like one of those portable dog cages.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
So Zero explodes. So
he just dies.
Yeah.
And then just before the end of the thing, you see them sort of like coalescing back into something else. So they're not going to leave you on the cliffhanger of, oh my god, he's dead. More of a cliffhanger of like, what is that?
Yeah, what is happening to him?
Something really cool is happening.
And then in chapter 54, we see that he's actually evolved to All Force Vegemon, one of the Royal Knights.
And then we all said, and then we all looked at it and we laughed. It was, ha ha ha, the Royal Knights.
Yeah. I mean, it's not referenced to be a Royal Knight. Like, no one says the words Royal Knights, because I'm pretty sure at this point in time, the Royal Knights didn't exist in the franchise.
No, it wouldn't, because this is, like, the first thing, right?
Yeah, it was, well, oh, no, maybe they, no, 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 they did, because they had a Frontier crossover.
Oh, yeah, because this has been going for a long time.
But when the story was actually being written initially, I would say that they didn't have any idea what the Royal Knights were, because it started before Adventure, if I recall correctly, like, or maybe like a month before Adventure or something.
Man, this would be really confusing if you saw All Force Vegemon like in the round table with the Royal Knights and then read this, like, because they were coming out at similar times.
Yeah.
Is that Zero? What's he doing here?
Well, we've got completely different personalities because...
Why is he blowing up New York?
And what I love about whenever Zero evolves is he looks really serious. And he's really serious. He's got a big scary dragon. And then he goes into the chibi mode and he dances around with Tai Chi.
It's always like the exact same dance as well.
And I think we've done it with every new evolution, right?
I think so.
Because we had it with Aerovedramon. And he's really serious looking, really, he's got the sharp, pointy face.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, he turns back to Chibi, and he has like this, when he's being a dog.
He has the big smile.
Yeah, when he's being Zero the dog, he's like, he's just a big dumb Labrador, I love him so much. So, Mari says, he doesn't look like a dog anymore, speaking of which.
I guess he's just a big dude.
Yeah.
He didn't look like a dog for a long time though, because he's always been like a big lizard man.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he never really looked like a dog. I think he just had the
first two evolutions, you could say, maybe there was a bit to it, because he's got like a snout.
Well, when he had two evolutions, we started as Vegemon, then Aerovedramon, now All Force Vegemon.
Wait, I honestly thought Aerovedramon just added the wings. I thought it didn't add the big, muscly man body. You know, you're probably right, though.
Yeah, he was a muscly man at Aerovedramon. Well, he was Vegemon with wings, and a little bit taller, I think, at Aerovedramon.
No, he had this big, like, round, like, lizard body, and then he got a big, like, abs and chest man body when he became Aerovedramon.
Yeah, in Vegemon, which was his adult level, which is what we started with.
Okay, fair enough.
No, he didn't start.
I lost track of it, apparently.
Yeah, he was always a little bit buff, though.
This is what happens when they're restrained with evolutions, is it feels like there were more than there were.
Yeah, we didn't have that many evolutions.
At the end of the day, we've had as many as most people get, but the last two have been in this last arc.
Yes, we get the...
It's how it should be.
We get like a mode change.
You know how... And the reason it should be this way is you never get the feeling that his like top level thing is underpowered.
Yes.
You never ever get that feeling, whereas I think consistently in Digimon, when you watch the show, they get to their top level, and it's because they have to be around for like 15 episodes... Then they feel really crap by the end of them.
Yeah, or they'll be strong for one episode. And I feel like Savers is guilty of this, especially. Is that
it's really bad.
The Digimon is only strong for the first episode that they're introduced in. And then in every other episode after it, they sort of almost get weaker.
Yeah, unless you're Shine Greymon.
Unless you're Shine Greymon, because you're a main character. And look, I love Savers, but I feel like it does suffer from that problem of, oh, it evolved this episode, instant win.
Yeah.
Don't worry, it'll be bad next episode. So apparently All Force is a legend about the opposite of a Digimon dying from Overwrite. So it says, okay, there's like this ancient myth that if a Digimon does, an ancient Digimon does an Overwrite, it doesn't die, it becomes All Force.
Okay, it's... So the idea basically is that because your override is based on your emotions, right? And presumably most of the time that severe emotion would be like anger and stuff. So yeah, eventually they'll just die. You'd think that Jijimon would have mentioned, oh, but by the way, if you love each and trust each other, like if it's override based on love and trust, oh, then he gets divine power and he gets a super evolution.
Yeah, but I don't think he thought that this was real. I think he didn't want to get their hopes up.
I guess that's fair.
You can argue with that, but yeah, it would make sense to say, but there is a rumor, but you can also say Jijimon didn't believe it, or like there wasn't enough evidence and he didn't want to get Tai Chi's hopes up, and he didn't want to risk Tai Chi making him do the overwrite.
This required like a single Atmon moment where Tai Chi just turned and he was like, why didn't you tell me that before? Yeah.
But it is easily explained with just like, he didn't believe it.
Yeah, that's why I said it just needed like one or two panels of that.
Which is easily done. So Zero and Tai Chi do the dance, which is great.
It's so cute.
Zero's shield can protect him from the God Matrix.
He has, it's got a really crap name. It's like Tense Great Shield or something.
Yeah.
But it doesn't get God Matrix because he's changing its... Okay, the fact... I feel like this must bother you as a programmer. I was like, oh yes, he's changing the ones and zeros.
Yeah, I know, but I just...
That doesn't mean anything, right?
I just distance myself from it. It's fine.
It's completely meaningless.
I guess he's changing what it means, but...
Because if you change the ones and zeros at a base level, it wouldn't be a shield anymore. It would be something else.
I guess you're just changing the identifier or the data type he's converting it. I guess you can argue, but still,
they say the ones and zeros. The binary code at the base of it is now changing.
I'm able to distance myself from it.
And he's rewriting it so fast that it can't be deleted.
Also, Ray kills herself, or tries to.
Oh my god. So they figure out, because Neo was going on and on and on about bugs and errors and how he's going to correct things, and Hideto goes, are you doing this just because of the error in the real world, the mistake, the accident that was Ray getting hit by a car or truck or whatever it was? Yeah. And he's like, yes, it is. Like,
To be fair, he told us that like 4 volumes ago.
But now everyone's here. And he goes, yeah, no, of course. And I'm going to have a world where there are no mistakes, where I have complete control over it. And Ray goes, I don't want that.
Wait, was Tai Chi there?
When?
When he found out that was why. Because I know Hideto was there, right?
I feel like Tai Chi was not there. I feel like okay, that was
so,
at
so
the...
that's why then.
Well, no, but Ray wasn't aware of it.
Yes.
So it was Hideto who was the one who was there who figured it out.
Yeah.
But Ray didn't know, which is important here, and Tai Chi didn't know, but it's sort of not relevant. Mostly it's Ray going, hold on a second, was this all for me? Because I don't want this. I'm okay. I've never complained about my legs.
Yeah, it's never been a problem that she thought she had. She was just like, okay, this is a thing now. She was always accepting of it. But I guess Neo wasn't?
Well, because, yeah, Neo was told by the doctors there's nothing we can do, and he immediately believed it.
And he also blamed himself.
Yeah, he blamed himself and he lost all hope, which is the sort of the two big parts of it.
And Hideto also blamed himself. And that's why he basically became evil.
Yeah. And then Ray goes, well, you know what? If this is all for me, then I can't bear to have this burden on my mind that this is somehow my responsibility. And she throws herself off a cliff, which...
You can actually understand. Like, it's not like... No,
absolutely. It's such a thing, like, it's so un-Digimon. It's such a, like, a real thing. And it also occurred to me that you could argue there's, like, a dramatic irony of she wouldn't have been able to do this if she didn't have her legs back.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I didn't even think about that.
And that's the end of that chapter with just like her falling to her death.
So chapter 55 resumes with Zero saving Rei, and Neo asks why Rei did something so stupid, and Rei says, look, I don't want a perfect world. I just want to go back to the way we were, how we were playing Digimon and we were hanging out and we were being friends. That's the world I want. Why would I want a perfect world? That was everything I wanted.
Yeah, and how she like believes in the future. She still has hope.
Yeah.
And clearly he doesn't.
And then Neo realizes that he stole other futures just so he can build Rei's future, and it's a future she doesn't even want.
Yeah, so he's sort of, it's dawning on him that everything he was doing was not correct.
Yes.
And it's hitting him in a really real way. So yeah. Much so, the Digimental's like, nah, that's enough of this.
And he breaks down, and Arcadimon starts devolving because he's breaking down. Because he never really asked Rei. He just assumed this is what she wanted.
Yeah. And for him, like, that trauma of something bad happened and something irreversible occurred as a result. Like, that never went away. But it wasn't reversible. It was sort of reversible in the way that, like, she wasn't permanently damaged mentally by it.
Mm.
He was.
Yeah, and we find out that the Digimental was only able to be used by Neo because of the fact he had true feelings and it was pure, and otherwise it wouldn't have worked, but that was the only reason he was able to use it.
And now he's conflicted.
Yeah. They all say they want to go home, but Arcadimon starts speaking because it's Demon from when Arcadimon ate him.
This is actually a really big moment. The moment you see the speech bubble and you're like, is that coming from Arcadimon? Because he's never said anything but like, gichi, gichi.
Yeah, he goes, gigi, 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 because he can't speak. And that's what I like about Arcadimon, because it's actually... I mean, it's always nice to have like the sassy monster. But that's not scary.
Is it though?
Okay, no, I like it from a comedic standpoint.
You like Phantomon, I know.
Yeah, Noisy Tusk. But the more important thing about Digimon that are scary is that when they don't speak. Because they're monsters.
Yeah, this is the other side of what would happen with the Digimon Emperor.
Mm.
Actually, it's not the other side. This is what happened with Chimeramon. Because you can't have the two bad guys who are working together, but one is like a sidekick because they're a Digimon, and yeah. yet they have their own personality. Like, it just doesn't work.
Mm.
So, yeah, he's been this like weird mindless tool up until now, where it's like, surprise, Demon's been in here. Yeah, you thought that Arcademon ate me. I let him do that.
Yeah,
I've always been one step ahead of you.
This has been my plan the whole time. You were just a pawn. Which, to be fair, Taiji sort of just said, hey, Neo, you're a pawn. And Neo was like, I know I'm not. Turns out, yeah. Well, Neo was a pawn.
Neo's perspective was, well, I killed that guy. Like, he's dead. How could I be a pawn of someone who I beat?
And then we realize Taichi didn't actually know that Demon died.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Like, the whole time, Taichi was thinking, the true boss is Demon, and he wasn't wrong.
That's fair. What I like is also this long explanation that Demon, like, he manipulated... His power has always been to manipulate emotions, and so he manipulated Neo's emotions to make him angrier, to make him more focused on his goals. And so the reason he always felt so confident, and arguably the reason he was pure of heart to begin with about this quest, was because Demon was manipulating him the whole time.
Yes.
And now that he is able to evolve into a super ultimate by combining with Arcademon, after Neo like looked after him, even after he thought that Demon had died, and now he's like he's got super emotion control powers, something which is only explored in the most minor way, because presumably it would be completely unstoppable if it was done legit.
Yes.
And then probably the most disappointing thing in all of V-Tamer, what's his goal? Oh, he's just going to control the real world and the digital world.
Well, to be fair, he lives for about 2 minutes.
That's true, and that's helpful. That's why, like, this last volume has been really great in, like, it's a climax, and we're just done.
Yeah.
I honestly would have been just happy. I would have been perfectly satisfied if Neo's like, oh my god, I'm a monster, and just collapsed, and they went home.
Yeah, I agree. If it sort of went from, hey, let's go home, guys, to when they're all saying their goodbyes, and they all fly up in the sky, and then we get the epilogue scenes, that would have been fine. Like, now we just have generic big monster wants to control both worlds.
But you get
which I guess is Digimon. That is Digimon. The bad guy's motivation. Guess what the motivation is? To rule both worlds.
Yeah, but you get to have like a last hurrah and a big flashy exit.
Yeah.
That's going to be really cute. So right now, so Demon's whole thing is that he opens the gate to the human world.
No, before that. So at the start of chapter 56, they attack. And then we have the very popular shonen trope of big thing of smoke.
Oh, did we get him?
We did it. And then there's no damage caused. And I think this might be actually the first time this has happened, maybe, in V-Tamer.
It might be.
From the good guys onto the bad guys' standpoint. I think, yeah. I'm pretty sure people have attacked Zero before that and done nothing. That's happened a
few times, for sure.
Because Zero's amazing.
With that weird bear that shot homing bullets, I definitely remember that happening.
Yeah.
And so the whole thing here is that because he's an emotion-controlling bad guy, and Ulforce is based on your emotion and your love and trust of your partner and whatever, if he can block those emotions, then you can't use the Ulforce. Now you're just essentially an Aerovidramon. So you're a V-Dramon again, essentially.
Yeah.
So
we find out the Demon just hates humans.
Well, I think this is fascinating, is that...
His motivation is he hates humans.
Well, it's not just that his motivation is that he hates humans. He's a weird, like... He's specifically meant to be, like, a sociopath.
Yes.
He says, like, you can't let emotions control you. I don't have emotions. I work everything on impulse because I'm a monster. He's actually just, like, a huge sociopath.
Yeah.
Which is fascinating, because the idea of this entire series has been the idea of support networks and friendships and emotions being really important for your development, which is something that every other season drops, because everyone has friends, but they don't explain why it's relevant. But here, thematically, the last bad guy is specifically a sociopath who can't even imagine what emotions are. Like, you just beat one bad guy with emotions, this one doesn't have any, so what do you do? Well, I guess you gotta kill him.
Yeah, which is fine. Like, it's fine to have, like, you know, the we win by talking it out, which is what happened with Neo. But it's also fine just to have, you know, good old-fashioned Digimon fight.
But if you're going to do it in a clever way. And I think they do.
Yeah. So Demon opens the gate to get to the digital world, and Zero gets attacked a bunch, and his body is basically cracking from all the attacks. And then in chapter 57, when Demon's rising up to the human world, Zero is weakened, but he says he can still fight because he has the strength to fight because he has Tai Chi with him. And Tai Chi says he's going to use the Digimental on Zero. The ground starts cracking and Tai Chi falls, but Neo saves him. And Neo quotes Tai Chi about what he says about having something to believe in. And he says, now I want to believe in those words. And it's really, really, really special.
Yeah. And so what's important here is that this could have just been a big dumb fight of just yelling at each other and being like, well, now I believe even harder, so I guess I'll just win.
Mm.
But at the end of this fight, you get to look at this and say, because of the groundwork Tai did with Neo and turning him, that's the only reason they were able to win this fight, was because you turned the other bad guy. And so there was something to be said that other than we did big attacks at each other until the bad guy fell down.
So Zero becomes future mode.
I was really hoping to escape these mode issues. He could have just been a super ultimate. You were allowed to do that.
Well, this is a super ultimate, but yeah, it's called future mode.
It doesn't have to be a mode. There's always modes at the end of these things. Is WarGreymon the only one who doesn't have a mode? Like, I know that Omnimon does, but...
Yeah, Omegamon has Ultra Rest. I'm surprised you know that, actually. What? Well, he also has Zord mode.
I watched it in the movie. What? Why would I know anything?
What do you mean Omegamon? Omegamon doesn't have... He does. Oh, no, that's... I didn't realize you would know.
Sorry, his mode is being a sword.
Oh, no, I'm done. He actually does have other modes, but not modes, not so much modes you change into, just modes that other Digimon can make.
Okay, well, then I was wrong.
Also, WarGreymon does have Black WarGreymon.
That's not a mode, that's a different Digimon.
Whether or not he can change into it is...
It's a different Digimon, it has a different name. It's also not Black mode.
Good point. Chapter 58, and Future Mode wins, and Zero starts crying, and Tai Chi starts crying too.
And they make fun of each other for it.
Also, Zero crying is so cute because of how, like, serious he looks, because he's a big, big, strong dragon.
I was, like, convinced that he would de-evolve at the end of this, and then he doesn't. And I go, you know what? Why would he? He never has before. You just don't de-evolve in this world. Yeah. And it's way better. It really is.
Because the pets don't de-evolve. It just dies and goes back to an egg. So it's time to go home, and we find out that Neo has left already because he probably found it too hard to face everyone because of what he's done. Yeah. And that's reasonable.
He's embarrassed.
He did do bad things. Like, Neo did bad actions, and I guess he did sort of redeem himself by saving Tai Chi and saying he wants to believe in his words.
But it's not everything's immediately forgiven. He killed tons of Digimon.
Yeah, he's not just going to go up to all the Angelmon and say, hey, sorry for killing all of you.
This is literally the story of, like, all the Digimon should hate Ken forever for what he did.
Yeah.
And I think he has, like, an anxiety dream about it, but it never actually, like, manifests in a way that, like, they actually don't like him.
Oh, no, no. Ken does go to the primary village to get Wormmon, and then all the babies are saying, hey, I know you. You're the Digimon Emperor, and they all hate him. Like, that's not an anxiety dream. That actually did happen.
Okay.
But everyone does sort of forget afterwards, which is kind of, like, a missed opportunity of them having, like, every time they go into the digital world, even if they're saving things or, you know, they're helping out, and then all of a sudden the Digimon say, but I don't want to serve him because he's the Digimon Emperor.
Wouldn't it be funny if they had to, like, give him a mask and a wig?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to digital world, put this on.
Well, to be fair, apparently, well, no one could see the difference between Ken and the Kaiser, so. Except for those babies when he goes to Primary Village.
For some reason.
But no one else, allegedly, unless it was only because of plot convenient. So Gabo says he wishes Tai Chi was his tamer so he could go back to the real world with him. And Tai Chi said that he has to watch over the world, so Gabo has to stay there. Zero goes back into the V-Pet. Then we find out that Tai Chi's hanging out with his new friends, and the long adventure was just one day. Like, the whole time, it was just one day spent.
That's the digital world.
Yes, it's the adventure digital world. So it's the D1 GP, but they still won't let Tai Chi compete.
Which is what was on yesterday.
Well, we don't know if this is immediately after. So Neo says that the real battle is still to come, and he says if he can't beat Tai Chi, he can't call himself a real tamer.
Yeah.
So now it's Neo saying that I'm not a real tamer, instead of him saying, you're not a real tamer.
He runs into, like, Sigma and Mari and Hideto on the way, and they're all friends now.
Yeah, and they're all, like, they all hang out and they all go to the GP together. That's a really nice epilogue.
Won't let him in. It's still a bug. We still don't know what this Digimon is.
Yeah, but I just really like how... Also, Neo is the only one, besides, I guess, Tai Chi, who looks like he did in the world. I guess Mari does too.
Well, then
Neo even has, like, the evil eyes. Oh yeah, but Hideto was kind of plain looking.
It's just Mari and Sigma, because they wore weird stuff.
Yeah, I guess Mari looks sort of similar. Sigma's the biggest change though,
because he doesn't have a big mask on. Mm. All his hair hangs in front of his face. Because they didn't want to design him.
And then V-Tamer ends.
Did you cover how...
How he's speaking to Gabo? Because he's sort of, like, narrating it.
So there is a bit of a piece of Gabo, but what I mean is Neo wins the D1 or whatever it is, because of course he does. And then because of what he said earlier about, hey, if I can't beat you, I'm not a real tamer, they have, like, an unofficial finals.
Yeah.
Where, like, he walks off the stage having just won. It's like, okay, now we're on.
Yeah.
Because we want to find out which of us is the best. Because, yeah, that tournament is one thing, but between us, that's what's real.
Well, it's not just, like, who's the best. Neo says he wants to prove himself as a tamer. Himself. It doesn't have anything to do with...
If he lost, would you just say he's not a tamer anymore?
Yeah,
and give up?
No, he would keep on. I think he would keep on trying.
Of course he would.
But the point is, what he's saying is, and it's reflecting to what he used to say when he was fighting Hideto, is if you can't beat me, you're not a real tamer. Now it's if I can't beat you, I'm not a real tamer. Like, it was never to say if he's not a tamer or not, because he lost. But I don't know, it's a nice sort of like change from what he used to be. And it's not a reflection on his opponent as a tamer, it's a reflection on himself as a tamer.
Could you imagine if you were the bouncer at this, or whatever the security or whatever it is that keeps rejecting Tai Chi here?
Yeah.
And literally yesterday, this kid comes over with his Digivice and you look at it and you read Vidramon, literally never heard of this Digimon. We have to reject you, kid. Sorry, it's clearly a bug. And then the kid leaves, and the next day he comes back, and you look, Alphorce Vidramon.
That's even faker.
What is this Chinese knockoff you're bringing in here, yeah, kid?
So what are your thoughts on the final volume?
It was really good.
It was.
Everything came to the correct climax. The timing of everything was great.
I had emotions. Emotions were good to have.
Emotions were had. You know what it made me feel like? What? And this is like one of the highest bits of praise I can probably give this. It made me feel like when I got to the end of either Gurren Lagann or Kill la Kill, where you start having the, like, it's all coming together. You're having all the emotions now because everything's built so well.
Yeah.
And I felt that. It was really good.
And this is what all seasons of Digimon should be like.
They and none of them are.
They should all be this quality. And I feel like... Do you think it's better than... Do you think you enjoy this more or the same as Atmon? Because I'm not
sure. I
like
this more. It's much more condensed.
Yeah, you're right. Like, Atmon did have a lot of filler. And I guess in manga doesn't really have much filler. We had things that were arguably filler. When, like, you know, they go to a town and there's, like, Starmon or something. But that was cute.
Yeah. But I think the thing I like about this is, A, it really felt like there were 9 episodes of it. I know there's 56 chapters.
Yeah.
But because of how long it takes to read
58.
Them.
So 58. And there were, like, Omakes as well. But those weren't really canon necessarily.
Yeah, because it was so short to get through them, there was basically a 9-episode series.
Yeah.
And that 9-episode series was really tightly done. If you were going to make this into an anime, I guess it would probably end up being 20-something.
Yeah.
And that would be great. I do think that Atmon's story felt unnecessarily stretched out because, hey, how many levels of evolution are there? Hey, how many weird apps can you just fight and do? And that's... something that this completely avoids. There are no evolution arcs, and that's the best. And I think that that's something that really weighs down Digimon when I think about it.
There's no evolution arcs because there's one character.
Exactly.
And the evolutions always have something to do with the plot.
And I think what's very important, and like, I know it's the best tool in the world for an anime creator. Oh, we can just kill like 3 minutes with evolutions. But having the character stay evolved forever gives them much... I think it gave Vidramon a huge feeling of progression. Mm. You're just like, that's just what he is now.
Also, in other seasons of Digimon, just to bring it back to evolution arcs, how many times have evolution arcs actually been relevant to the rest of the story?
Like, never.
No, I feel like Angewoman's evolution was, and the evolution to Wargreymon and Metal Garurumon.
No, they never talk about the arrows anymore.
No, but the evolution itself to Angewoman, where Angewoman is the one who killed Vamdemon.
I mean, yeah.
Like, she kills Vamdemon when she shows up.
Yeah, I don't remember.
She does. So she was actually relevant because then Vamdemon was reborn. Unless I'm remembering that correctly.
But that's not to do with the evolution arc. That's to do with having beaten Vamdemon at all. Like, that would always have happened.
Yeah, like, but that wasn't part of the evolution arc. Also, Holy Angemon killed Piedmon.
Yeah, and Angemon killed Devimon.
Yeah, so we have, like...
the little kids beat everyone.
But that's the thing. Those weren't actually part of the evolution arcs.
No, it wasn't.
Because it was, like, several episodes after the evolution arcs.
Yeah.
And then we had, I guess, Paelgemon in 02. But most of the time, the evolution arcs have just been Digimon shows up, we get some character development, but most of the time they're not 100% to do with the plot.
Most of the time you could skip all the episodes and just say, oh, they can all evolve to this thing now, and you go, okay. And what I really like about this series, which I think is a huge problem, they've never done this again, give the Digimon names.
Yeah.
Give them names. That gives them a character. There is so much more emotional connection to Zero, the Digimon, than, oh, it's Agumon, or it's Greymon, or it's Wargreymon, or it's Omnimon, and just whatever their name is right now, that's their name.
Atmon had that. Eri called Dokumon Dokachan.
And to an extent, that was really good.
Yeah.
But
I think it's just a thing that doesn't happen in the anime, because a lot of the side manga or the side games, they name their Digimon. Like, the characters will name their Digimon things.
It's a big deal. Kingdom Death Monster gets it right.
Yeah.
You gotta name your character before you have an emotional connection to them.
Yeah, and that's good.
Because how weird would it be, like, I know that pretty much whenever you see a Digimon in a series that's a main Digimon, there's not going to be more than one of them.
Yeah.
But we know there could be.
But we actually know that Zero won't be because it's like this ultra-rare Digimon. Yeah.
But you see like the big horde of like Agumons and you're like, well, what if they all were just called Agumon now?
Yeah, the Agumon with the boxing gloves.
Yeah, exactly. They're so cute.
And then they evolved. Remember when they evolved to the Digimon? Then they saw, oh yeah, we were some of the Agumon, the boxing Agumon.
That's so cute.
And it just happened off screen. They just show up and like, oh yeah. And acknowledges that different evolution paths.
Which is never, ever brought back, ever. I don't think that matters so much. Because to me, I always came at this from a Pokemon perspective where I thought the branching paths was weird. And because look, here's Agumon and here's Greymon. Well, that makes perfect sense. Yeah. It's a lizard to a lizard. Here's Agumon and here's...
Devimon.
Oh, okay. Leomon? Also confusing.
Here's Gabumon. Evolves into Angelmon.
Why?
No Patamon, by the way. Patamon wasn't there till version 3. Gabumon evolved into Angelmon and Kabuterimon.
Amazing.
Tentomon didn't even come out in the original VPET, unless you count the version 6, which was Australia exclusive, which was based off the Pendulum.
Why would there be an Australia exclusive? Was this market particularly good? They wanted good? Money.
Yes.
Okay.
So they made the version 6, which is my most expensive VPET. That's the purple one. It's very expensive because it was only released in Australia, and it was just a copy of the Digimon Pendulum. It had all the stuff from the first Digimon Pendulum. It's pretty good. But yeah, so the evolution paths don't necessarily make sense, but I really love when they bring them up because it's a big part of Digimon for me. It was in the VPETs. It was in Digimon World. It is just the thing that makes Digimon Digimon to me. So I like when they reference that, but they don't really have that in the show besides Dark Evolutions.
And even then, that's like, no, that's a mistake. Let's just not do that. Don't worry about it. Like back to normal.
Like, imagine if TK has Patamon, right?
Yes.
And Patamon becomes Angelmon and dies against Devimon.
Yes.
And he hatches, but he hatches and he raises him differently. He doesn't evolve into Patamon. He evolves into something else.
Yes. That would be really weird, but it would be an interesting story to tell.
Or in any season where the Digimon has died and been reborn. It hatches and it evolves. Doesn't evolve into the Digimon they used to
My favorite thing about Savers is when they say, okay, but don't expect them to be exactly what they were like before they died. And then it comes back, I'm exactly the same as before.
Yeah. But no, it's just a thing about Digimon that I really like. And I think that's because it's... Like, I was into the VPETs and I was into Digimon World before I watched Digimon. So the important thing to me is the branching pathways. But I guess you don't really get that because you never played the VPETs or the game.
Not at all.
But I really like it.
You maybe looked after a VPET once and then you said I cheated.
No, I was really confused because you got Garurumon. And that's really hard to get. Like, you have to, like, overfeed and you have to train it a certain amount of times.
It's not hard to overfeed Digimon if you don't know how much you're meant to regularly feed it and you just mash buttons.
Yeah, you usually just feed it until the parts are full. But you can overfeed if you, like, chuck it full of food.
I just mash buttons until it doesn't want anymore.
Yeah, that's overfeeding it.
I just assume it was until it went away. Like, is it related to the hearts? I didn't know.
Yeah, the hearts are the strength and the hunger.
News to me.
But I know I really do love the VPETs. What are your highlights for this whole series?
It's difficult. I just think that Zero being a nerd.
Yeah, that's good. But I also really like Sigma, like the backstory with Sigma and the Sigma episode when he had Piedmon. And then chapter, I guess, because there's the part where they're about to die and, you know, they fly off and they're sort of like, they're sort of saying, hey, you didn't die. I'm like, no, because I don't want you to die because I love you and you're my friend. And it's like the Sigma only loves Piedmon.
What if they got back and then when you see Sigma, he's just looking sadly at his empty Digivice?
Oh, that's heartbreaking. they should have actually done that, but that would have been too heartbreaking. And the same with Mari, and the fact that Mari had heard that Sigma lost and she didn't want to fight him. She didn't want to fight Tai Chi, so she just confused him.
It was a good bit.
And it was good that way. I mean, there are a lot of parts where I remember, like, really fondly, but I feel like the Sigma part was one of my most important ones. And same with Mari. Like, I really did like the Alias 3 storyline.
I think, for me, it was every time I was like... It had to be the first moment where it turned from, oh, Neo's just a weirdo bad guy who likes to be evil, to, oh, that's why he's doing this. And every time I sort of saw the story coming together, which is why, really, I think this ending where they built up Dragon Impulse this whole time, and it was all great. Oh, other highlight I should mention specifically is I love how the writers hate Davis too.
Oh yeah, and how they had Takuya and they actually had him use the evolution in different ways. Like,
and everyone's like, whoa, what the hell is that? Yeah, and it was the smartest thing Takuya had ever done.
Yeah.
And then Ryo was there, and that was a lot of fun. All the omakes were great.
Yeah, the omakes were really good, even
except
though...
the farting one. Except the poop one. That was trash.
No, that was all right. It was...
No,
it
that was a waste of time.
I thought it was funny, but like that was the first one, and I believe every other one was a crossover one. But it was three things you don't like about Digimon, really. Or rather, Ryo never really gave you a chance to like him.
Yeah.
So we had Daisuke, which I'm pretty sure is your least favorite character out of everyone.
Correct.
And we have Takuya, which is your least favorite season.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Ryo, which was never really explained or given any character to.
And they're like the best versions of all of them.
Yeah.
Which is amazing, because you know what that means? It means they had good writers on hand and they just chose not to hire them.
Yeah, well, we had him write the manga, not the anime.
Also, one would imagine that because the anime went for such a long time, obviously over the course of many years, that they had time to like make the writing better through drafts, whereas doing a weekly anime, obviously you've got a big team of writers and they're not all gonna be gems.
Yeah. And I've completely forgot about the Amakes. The Amakes were quite good. And
remember that time when they beat that Snow Digimon by being so hot-blooded he got uncomfortable and went away?
Yeah, that was Ryo.
That was so good.
Man, that Ryo sure was hot. Direct quote from Taichi. And we had Daisuke being really annoying and kind of, like, arrogant. But almost, like, it was him, but it was, like...
It was kind of turned up to 11, but that's fine.
Yeah.
There's this girl, though. She's great. She loves me. I don't know. We'll get there.
Yeah, it's like, it's also your sister from the other dimension.
I have a sister? Okay, cool. I can just talk about her however I want.
Oh, the other highlight.
Yeah?
The goggles have meaning.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. I dropped it. But yeah, the goggles meant something.
Yeah. And people are saying, hey, why are you even wearing those goggles? They look stupid. No, I have a reason. And here's the reason. Oh, okay.
And it affected the plot in that it made that Piyomon go give a message.
Yeah, it gave the Piyomon hope. It's like, oh, I can be a hero too. And it's, I don't know, that's just a minor thing that we almost forgot happened. And
it was one of the best parts of all of V-Tamer.
Yeah, it was. And the thing is, you can say, oh, it's one of the best parts over this season. But there's a lot of best parts in V-Tamer. Like, you can't just, like, it's not just like, oh, yeah, this is the only good thing. No, there's many good things. But it is a really good thing they actually explain the goggles. Because what other season has explained, why does this character wear goggles?
Remember that time he beat that Digimon who does all the bite attacks by making V-Digimon taste like crap?
Yeah, and poison him. Like, all the strategy as well. Like, and in the end, it was sort of like who can punch the most, sort of. But it was still, like, some strategy.
But they had built up the idea of friendship and emotion and that being a power source so well, and they had been consistent about it so reliably that you're like, I believe it. I understand. You felt that connection existed because of how they'd behaved the entire time.
Yes.
And even then, they specifically took the time to mention, by the way, we're not just doing a big attack against each other. There's no way Tai would be here if all the Digimon didn't believe in Zero and bring him back by giving him their energy. There's no way we would have been here too. if Sigma hadn't gotten the information.
And if Hideto hadn't gotten the dot matrix.
Everyone worked together, except for Mari, to make this work.
Mari was great, you shut up.
She did nothing.
She helped.
Did she?
No, she actually investigated with Sigma, remember?
When they were separated. He could have done it just fine on his own.
Sigma's great. No, Sigma and Mari are both great and they're my favourites. But no, there were lots of parts that I liked. Oh, there was another one that was in my head that I just completely left. But it's a good season. No, I was about to say how Taichi basically won every single battle except for like one. But still in the way, like it didn't make him seem overpowered. Like, if he won, it was always a struggle, and he used strategy. It didn't feel like, oh, he's winning all the time, that's boring. But they didn't have to make it, he's losing all the time, like how in the Royal Knights arc in Frontier, how they lost constantly, basically, in every episode. And that wasn't as enjoyable, but it also made them seem not strong and not overpowered. But in this one, he won basically every single fight, but it was never sort of like, it never made him feel overpowered.
It's because he overcame the odds with cleverness.
Yes.
Because the phrase overpowered would imply just like, oh, they have more strength than the opponents. And that's kind of what it was in Frontier when they just lost all the time, because they did the same thing over and over again. Well, you know the bad guys are stronger than you,
yes,
and you just fight them straight on and then lose. Well, that's stupid. Why would you do that?
Yeah,
and in this case, okay, the bad guy's clearly stronger than you. What are you going to do?
Yes, but I also noticed that there was no parts in V-Tamer that seemed repetitive or that happened in the last episode. Like, it was always, everything was always new or not done before. Like, it was never reusing things. And if they ever did sort of like borrow an idea from something that happened before, they would always say, hey, it's like this time.
It's because there was a clear feeling of progression. And as we went along, to make it fresh. They ran concurrent storylines.
Yes.
Like, Tai Chi's over here doing this, and Rey's over here doing this, and how do those storylines interact? That's very, I mean, it's Game of Thrones on a small scale.
Yeah.
Whereas, what happens in most Digimon? Well, the kids are going to go here now, and then they're going to go over there. And if they cut to another storyline, usually it's, what's the bad guy going to do? Well, he's doing bad guy stuff.
Yep.
All right. So nothing progresses, really, until the Digimon all evolve. Okay, now the story can go until the new bad guy shows up, and now I have to all evolve again. It's like you're opening lots of little doors.
Right.
And, oh, it's just more doors. Oh, we'll get to the end of this hallway eventually. Oh, it's fine.
Do you have any other opinions or thoughts or favourites?
It was really good.
Because I liked this volume. I think this was a good finale. Like, even though, yes, it would have been nice if they just went off. Like, it's fine to have Demon come back. Because I did feel like Demon's death was sort of anticlimactic.
I'm perfectly happy with it because it didn't drag on. I think
it did dragon, though.
Not really.
Get it, dragon?
It did not really.
Is it dragon?
No, it's fine.
Is it dragon Digimon? Is it drama?
Not exactly.
It did drama on.
So I think that most other seasons, except for Adventure, weirdly enough, like when the main bad guy like shows up finally, they're usually a little bit less restrained about it. And they're like, oh yeah, we'll just chuck a bunch of episodes into this.
Yeah.
But you're like, I know there's a couple, only like two episodes left. What's going to happen? They're all going to die at the end?
And this, I thought this would be a moment to say, but this is 2018 is actually the 20th anniversary of E-Tamer.
Huh. Maybe one day they'll acknowledge it and make something good out of it.
See, everyone's been like wanting and wishing and hoping for a gem figure of Tai Chi and Zero.
That'd be really cute.
The gem figures are like the really nice ones. Like the Lady Devimon one's a gem figure. All the little kids ones that I have, the really high detailed ones, those are gem figures. I think a Zero Maru and Tai Chi would be really good.
Has there ever been any evidence they even remember this exists?
Yes. I believe they make a post about like every year on the anniversary.
Oh,
also,
really?
Haggis Memory, the new Cyber Sleuth game, in part of the trailer, which is one of the cutscenes, the character has some manga on his shelf, and one of them is the V-Tamer manga.
That's cute. Because when I think about things like this, when they're 20 years old, they're at the beginning of the franchise or whatever, sometimes I think the creator probably doesn't care about that thing at all anymore.
Well, they're doing the Pokemon Sun and Moon manga now, and if you look at it, there are just moments where it's very, very Tai Chi and Zero Maru.
By they, you mean the artist? Yes. Is the same artist?
The artist and writer, yeah.
Oh, it's the writer as well?
Yeah.
Okay. Wait, is it one guy?
The mangaka.
Okay, right. Yeah. Sorry. American comic books have taught me there is a writer and there is an artist, both.
I believe in both manga. In manga, it's usually both.
Mm.
But no, it's just, if you look at it, they're doing the same sort of like chibi moments, because he has a rock ruff.
I wonder
how
many incredible writers there are who can't draw and are thus not making the best manga that could exist because of the weird way that teams work. Like, no, like in the weird way that if you're starting a manga, you're not in a team.
They do light novels then.
Yeah, but those all suck.
Tell that to all the franchises that started as light novels.
Yeah, and you know what? Most of them suck.
Oh yeah, ReZero. That surely isn't the thing that everyone's crazy about. I'm pretty sure that started as a light novel.
Actually, to be fair, ReZero seems pretty decent.
I've got the first volume. I need to read it, but it's
I saw a very in-depth analysis.
Very strong Japanese.
I saw an analysis of like what changed between the light novel and the anime. Apparently it's a reasonably faithful adaptation. I think there are some things the novel does better though, so you should probably enjoy it.
Yes, but it is I want to be able to read it by the end of this year. I doubt that will happen though.
That's a light novel though. It's not a heavy novel.
Well, what's
the distinction between a light and a heavy novel?
Or
a light and a regular novel?
I believe light novel, I don't know. There is a difference. I believe they're smaller, and I think...
It's physical weight. If it's below 80 grams, it's a light novel.
I'm not 100% though, but no, I really... One of the reasons I want to be fluent in Japanese is to read light novels, because they don't usually have an English release. Except for ReZero, which does have an English release.
That makes sense. All the big ones would.
Mm.
No Game No Life probably does.
I think ReZero might be the biggest, maybe.
It's up there. Yuri on Ice, though. Apparently that's number one. Who knew?
That's number one in the anime. Apparently it's really good. I should watch it.
There's that ballroom show where the people's necks are really long. Well, we're way off topic at this point.
All right. Well, I guess that's it for the thoughts about V-Tamer then. Are we done talking about V-Tamer forever? Well, we won't be forever, because I'm sure as soon as we're watching Digimon, something bad happens and we'll just say...
I wish it was like V-Tamer.
Yeah. Like, it's what we happen with Atmon all the time. We'll just say, well, in Atmon, this is how they did it. It's just sort of like, I guess it just happens when Digimon does something right.
I love how it didn't drop the ball at the end. That was great.
Same with Atmon.
Yeah.
Atmon and V-Tamer both were pretty strong.
But there's no caveat with this. With Atmon, it's always, but who was the Shadow Apley driver?
Yeah.
With this one, there's nothing. I'm just really happy with everything.
Yeah, everything seems pretty contained. There might be something we're missing, but I don't want to think about it because V-Tamer's great. I think you're right. I think V-Tamer may be better than Atmon. I think V-Tamer may be the best thing in the franchise. Maybe.
And they definitely did not start as they meant to go on, because they started and then they went...
What do you mean?
every other Digimon thing sucks in comparison to this.
Yeah, which is... Well, like, it continued through the whole thing, so...
Yeah. But that means they could have looked over at any time to see what was how it was being done better.
Apparently, the Cross Wars manga is quite good.
Well, apparently Cross Wars is not.
I like Cross Wars.
Yeah, but you like Digimon, and yes. I don't know why.
I'm like one of the only people who actually like Young Hunters. I believe Sam from the Moncast is also another one. They're just... It's fun. It's like 20 episodes of fun. Sure, it's Monster of the Week, but it's fun.
Does it have a conclusive story arc?
Yes.
Okay.
It does finish.
You know what's really good? Gurren Lagann.
Yeah, I'll watch it. We'll watch it one day, I'm sure.
So strong. What a good show. I want to watch it again, actually. I really do.
Well, that's the next Patreon milestone, remember?
Yay!
So next time, we'll be starting next. We'll be reading volume one. We'll be continuing in one volume per month. Next only has four volumes.
This okay, so we'll be done in 4 months.
Yes, so V-Tamer is the longest one. Every other series either has four volumes or two.
Okay.
Unless I'm wrong.
Fair enough.
I guess we could also cover the Digimon Adventure manga, which is screenshots from the anime, and they gave up after the Edamon arc.
The last one
was released. Taichi is just standing in Odaiba with Koromon under his arms, and that's the last one they released.
Wow, imagine if you thought that was just the end of the story, because that was the only thing you
Taichi
read.
Taichi goes home. No one else does.
That's so weird.
Everyone dies, and it's just screenshots. It's not like drawn or anything. They're just screenshots from the anime.
That is so lazy. It's unbelievable. I own it. That is insane. Did you have that crap comic book as well that's drawn badly?
Oh, the English release one, yeah. Yes. Well, I've got the Australian release and also the Dark Horse Comics one, which is the American release, which I believe is also the one that we got at the start, but Dark Horse gave up, and then Otter Comics, I think it's called.
Dark Horse doesn't give up on anything. It must have been really crap.
Well, they coloured in Greymon blue at one point.
That's okay. That's accurate to one thing that happened once.
No, blue and orange.
Ew.
Like orange the head, blue body.
Random.
Yep. So link dumps in the description. You can contact us and stay updated. You can email us at lostintranslation1@gmail.com or you can comment on this episode and message us on SoundCloud. You can follow us on @Translation on Twitter, and you can find us on Lost in Translation on Tumblr, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. We have a Scrunch Letter on With the Will and a red thread in the Digimon subreddit, and we would appreciate if you would review us on iTunes, Stitcher, and any other podcast listening app that you use. And ratings really do help people find the podcast, so please, please do that. We'll also read them in Postmont Pat on our main episodes, not these ones, obviously. We now have a website, and you can vote in our weekly polls, check out release schedule, check out our blog posts. You can also donate to our Patreon, which links in the description from as little as $1 a month, and that gets you access to our listener Slack chat group. But higher levels get you more rewards, such as notes, early episodes, and more.
And thank you to our Patreon supporters: Sam Krieger, who has a podcast called with Stevie called The Moncast; Stevie, who is Steve Padmon on Tumblr and is currently taking commissions; Wuchinglong, who you can find at twitch.tv/Wuchinglong; Metal Mamemon; Joe, Anime Guy, who is Anime Guy Kurosaki, the number one on YouTube; Chuckmon; Hiro Lado, who's @HiroLado on Twitter; Jason Morosky; Ryuchi, who is Frost Mirandic on Archive of Our Own; Stephen Reeves, who is @WildLink64 on Twitter; Kaidawashi, Mac, Noam, Riku, Chisai, who you can follow @Chisai236 on Tumblr; Kyle, Delady Bugman, whose anime blog you can read at baguburagu.wordpress.com; Tom, Glitchgoat, Azra McCool, Gene Hackmon, who hosts New World Sonata, which is a sci-fi, fantasy, and audio drama podcast; Matthew, Anthony, who's @AntoClassic on Twitter; Lizmet, who's Lekmon on Tumblr; Sithobi, Ellie Vorg, who's Ellie Vorg on Tumblr; Sporky McForkinspoon, who hosts a Digimon podcast called Going Digital; Megan, Kylie Eck, Nyobu, the Time Optimist, Silverhead Freak 25, Harvey, Alex, Nicholas, and Thunder.
You can also make a one-off donation on our PayPal, which we found linked in the description. It is paypal.me/edgemon. Make sure to let us know for the podcast. We'll see you guys next time. Bye! Bye.